The last pod before the season is here. We discuss final pre-season friendlies, reveal our almost locked teams, and you can probably guess which of us is considering a Haaland and Salah draft. Well, this is it. Game week one is finally almost here. I hope you got your teams ready because the game week gets underway on Friday night, Liverpool taking on Bournemouth. So here is your first warning. It's a 6:30 p.m. deadline. And if you're going to forget any deadline this season, don't make it this one, Julian Laurent. I'm looking at you. Yes, this is the final FPL pop before it all gets underway. So Kelly Summers, Jules and Sam Bonfield back here with one more, hopefully, set of helpful tips and insights. I think we're all panicking, actually, though, aren't we, Jules?
Yeah, we are. But, I mean, I think we're all excited, very excited. But they're just, this year feels there's so many options. There's so many things that you need to consider, hesitate on. Salah, Haaland, a lot of good midfielders. Who do you play up front? There's no Isak, obviously, because he's not going to play, certainly for now. So there's a lot of very exciting things. But that's why maybe if you're not just ready yet, it's okay. You still have until Friday evening to be ready.
Sam, has it been such a busy week for you with sorting out FPL deadlines that you're just joining us in between?
If you lived in your car for 3 days.
Yeah. For those that are watching on YouTube, it's very obvious. This car is not moving. No. Sam is not driving. You are very much still, but you are in your car. Let's just address the elephant in the room.
Yeah, we've had a bit of a nightmare this morning, haven't we? So my hotel room, the Wi-Fi has completely died. So now I'm sat in my car in a random car park in Liverpool. But there you are. That's the commitment to this podcast. I will sit in my car and record it.
Thank you very much. We do appreciate it. Yeah, Sam was at the Premier League launch day yesterday, offering tips and advice to people that were there. And hopefully she's going to do that for us now as well. But I'm just going to remind you very quickly of the Pod Mini League code. There's lots of you in there, but hopefully there's going to be even more come the deadline. And of course, you can join whenever. The code is XY6XPL. Now, all we have to go off as we do enter this season opener is, of course, the pre-season games that we have seen. But I said it on last week's show that actually what happened in that final weekend would probably really shape our thinking, and particularly the Community Shield between Liverpool and Crystal Palace, which, of course, congratulations, Palace fans, you won, lifting another trophy at Wembley. But did we learn much about that from an FPL point of view? Because I felt actually, Jules, that was quite telling. It did shape my thinking quite a bit.
Yeah, I think you're right. There was a lot of things for us to take away from that game, both on both sides, Liverpool or Palace. Liverpool first, I thought Ekitike looked really good and his relationship with Wirtz looked really good. Mm. The downside of that is that Mo Salah was anonymous, maybe one of the worst games that he's ever had with Liverpool from his point of view. And it goes back to some of the discussions that we've had so far in this preseason is, will Wirtz and Ekitike to a certain extent, and maybe Isak if he signs as well, impact the form of Mo Salah? Mm. This is a team that used to be built around him and for him, and now they're going to play in a very different way. And we saw how important Wirtz was, how much he was taking the ball, how much he was touching the ball. So this was not good for Salah, but it was very good for Wirtz and for Ekitike. Not good defensively from Liverpool, but I did tell you that. So it's okay. I felt vindicated. And from a Palace point of view, it's everything the same. Muno's on the right and on the right hand side, Mateta in the center on pens as well. Sar looking good for Eze. We're not sure about the future, but certainly from a Palace point of view, it's what we knew from last season. For Liverpool, there was a lot of new things.
I did wonder actually, Jules, Sam. Even I'm looking at Sam, but saying Jules, if like you mentioned it there in terms of Palace, if Mateta is someone we haven't, you normally talk about him a lot. Have we overlooked him a bit this preseason?
He's been in my draft for the last 2 weeks. And so I was slightly annoyed by his good performance in the Community Shield. Because now everybody's
gone under the radar.
Yeah, I was really hoping he was going to be a little differential. Now, the interesting thing about Mateta in that game is obviously he seems to be on penalties now. He took the one while Eze was on the pitch. And there's always been a bit of back and forth at Palace as to who's on them. Yeah. So I think we learned that. And obviously he scored 2 penalties because he scored again in the shootout when Eze also missed his penalty in the shootout. So I think that solidifies him as their kind of penalty taker. But he actually only had 17 touches in that game, Mateta. So he wasn't hugely involved, but the things that he did do, he did incredibly well. And that is kind of what we've seen in the past few seasons. Now, last year, it was the back end of last season that he was really good, but his pre-season form, alongside that of the rest of the Crystal Palace squad, to be fair, has been phenomenal. Like, he's been brilliant over the course of pre-season. So definitely a player that I want to have, to the point where I have, and we'll talk about this later, but to the point where I've left out one of the most heavily owned players in the game because I really want Mateta.
Ooh. Stay tuned, guys. That one's coming. Okay, then it feels like it's quite a lot we could talk about from that. We could dive into the Mo Salah debate a bit more. And I think we will during the course of this podcast, because I think there's definitely one of us on this pod that's wavering of whether we're going to have Salah. Jules?
Yeah, because I really want Haaland.
Let's dive
in now. I think Haaland's going to have a great season. But yeah, no. It feels mad and it probably will be there. But I just, what I saw on Sunday in the Community Shield just confirmed all the little doubts I had over, his talent or anything like that, and he will still have a good season. But more that Liverpool are going to be different and play differently this season, and just I think his FPL form will suffer a little bit from that, at least.
Sam, you wavering?
No, I'm not. I mean, I really should be. The data from the Community Shield, if you take that, I mean, he received 55 passes in that game. That was nearly three times the amount that Salah received. He had 20. He was averaging a pass just every 4.5 minutes during that game, which is way less than we've seen last season, like significantly down. Of the 38 appearances that he had for slot last season in the Premier League, his season low was 21 and he had that twice, but every other time it was a lot more. He only had one shot. That only happened twice. Well, once in the Premier League last season against Everton in game week 13. The only other time he got less was against Arsenal. I think that was in game week 36. He was really not involved until Wirtz and Ekitike went off, and then it became a bit more of the traditional look for Salah stuff that we were used to from last season. But it wasn't that impressive from him, and it did make me kind of go, however, he doesn't generally perform that well at Wembley. We've seen that in the past, and we know that he always averages over 12 points in game week one. So there's a risk and reward, I think, for going without Mo Salah, and it's how risky you want to be heading into the first game week.
I don't want to give away too much of the drafts at this point, but are you just going Salah, Sam, in terms of the Liverpool? Because so you, have you gone Wirtz now as well?
I've had Wirtz all summer. Yeah, he's been in every draft.
You're staying both, same as me.
Yes. Yeah.
And Jules, you're the same, aren't you?
Yeah, for now, they're both in. Yeah.
Did you consider anyone else? Gakpo, Ekitike?
I think Ekitike deserves a shout going forward, because I think his relationship with Wirtz would be very interesting, very important. He took his goal really well. It's a good fit. And yeah, after that, there was not much. He missed another chance, but he didn't have much. He will have more in games through the Premier League season. There's no doubt. And I thought that's why it was really interesting. But for now, if you are looking just at two Liverpool attacking players, Wirtz and Salah, if you can afford them, makes more sense, really. But Ekitike is one to keep in mind, I think.
Jules suggested on last week's podcast that the Liverpool defence might not be the way to go. And I think this match probably suggests you're right. I had Virgil van Dijk. I no longer have Virgil van Dijk. I don't have any Liverpool defenders. And I think, Sam, this is maybe a little bit of a trend amongst FPL managers at the moment. I think everyone was obsessed with van Dijk, and I'm wondering now if actually that's a way of saving a bit of money.
Yeah, I did exactly the same. And I had the same obsession. And I think in part that was the defensive contributions thing that has made everyone look at him.
And they're the champions, and he's Virgil van Dijk.
And they're the champions. Yeah, and they were good for clean sheets last season, and all of that stuff. All of that stuff that we were saying before still exists. It's still a thing. He still did do well for DEFCON. They still did do well for clean sheets last season. I think the point is that we've got two major changes in that Liverpool defence with Frimpong and Kerkez. At a point where we've had Trent and Andy Robertson for years and years and years, and it's been a very stable Liverpool defensive performance where you basically know what you're going to get, and people knew exactly where each other were going to be, and you had that kind of unit that was working quite well. Now, I mean, Frimpong, I don't think, barely made it back into his own half to defend. He spent most of the game in the Palace end, which from an FPL perspective, by the way, we like from attacking returns perspective, right? Because he's very attacking and looks set to be involved in both assists and goals, as we saw in the Community Shield. And Kirk is on the other side. We know that he likes to be very attacking from what he did at Bournemouth last time around. So I think with those two being very attacking, and the fact that they don't have Ryan Gravenberch at the minute and won't in the first couple of game weeks either through suspension, means that the defence didn't really have that supportive midfielder helping them out. So they were very vulnerable defensively. And we saw a lot of Gakpo having to track back in that game and do a lot of the defensive work to kind of cover for the fact that Frimpong and Kirk were ahead. all of that means that in the opening couple of weeks, at least, I just don't see clean sheets. So when you couple that with the fact that then in game week three, the fixture is a little bit more of a challenge, shall we say, then I've lost the desire to have one, because I think at this point, I want to be sure that there's going to be some clean sheets. And I just don't think that there will in the opening weeks of the season. And I think they need some time to settle in.
Yeah, Jules, agree?
Yeah, I agree. I think if I was going for one, it would be Frimpong because of the attacking threat they will offer. We saw a lot of the diagonal from Szoboszlai towards Frimpong. Clearly, part of the game plan was to isolate Frimpong, and he got lucky on his goal, but that kind of worked. So it would be Frimpong, but they will get better defensively. This is just they need to work on their defensive line, on their shape and all of that. That will improve. But for now, I don't think they're ready. They might be okay against Bournemouth because it's Bournemouth. But like Sam say, game week three is Arsenal, and that could be very different.
Okay, well, I know that if you're listening to this podcast, you probably just want to hear our final draft. So we will come on to those in just a moment. But Jules, very quickly, I got in trouble last week because I forgot to give you your moment to shine where you rounded up what you'd seen in pre-season. I haven't forgotten today. It's in bold on my notes. Go on, tell us what... Oh, I've missed one. I've missed quite a big pre-season friendly,
It's definitely a friendly. There's nothing on it.
It's the Kings of Europe, you know, where you really are the best team in Europe.
Really. Okay, oh, I think my internet connection's gone again.
Sorry, Sam. What did we learn about Spurs as they lost the Super Cup to PSG?
Well, let's talk about 85 minutes, shall we? Because for 80-ish minutes, Spurs
actually
played quite
well. How many minutes is a football match?
Yeah, but we don't need to worry about the last five. It's fine. I think defensively, we learned quite a bit about Spurs. So we set up with a very interesting style, which I wasn't necessarily expecting us to play with five at the back and like three central defenders. And I suspect we might see that in games against good sides, like more difficult fixtures where, you know, they're going to attack well. And Danso, Van de Ven and Romero had really solid games, to be fair. And obviously Van de Ven and Romero both with goals, which is, you know, interesting. We have said that there's very little to call between them over the course of the last season. And yet again, in this one, it transpired to be the same thing. So I think we learned that. Interesting that how we set up in attack as well. Obviously, Richarlison led the line, but Solanke did come on at the end of the game, which I would hope means that he will be the starter for game week one. Now that he's got some minutes back in his legs, he didn't seem to have any issues there. And obviously, he took his penalty. But he didn't play Brennan Johnson, which fascinated me because obviously he was a bit of the sacrifice in terms of playing that extra defensive player. So I've gone right off him, but Kudus really impressed me. I thought he worked incredibly hard and settled in nicely. So against Burnley in game week one, I would expect that if you are invested in Spurs, that they should do well for you. I mean, obviously it's Man City in two. So maybe we see a bit more of the structure that we saw against PSG in the Super Cup. But yeah, for 85 minutes, I was really happy, especially when Van de Ven scored, because he's my favourite, as we all know. But yeah, and it's just a shame. I should have turned it off then, shouldn't I?
We had a happy Sam for 85 minutes. Then it went to a happy Jules. Jules, taking away, by the way, I should say congratulations, taking away your
Thank
joy
you
for PSG. Yeah. What did you learn about Spurs? Because we, all jokes aside, there was a lot of positives, wasn't there, for Thomas Frank and his team, and us as FPL managers.
Yeah, I agree with everything Sam said. I mean, set pieces as well was big, and we kind of knew that Frank would bring that with him to the club. Ange had a lot of qualities, but doing well on set pieces, offensively or defensively, was not one of them. So this is going to change, and there will be a threat on set pieces going forward through the season. So that's good if you want to own Van de Ven or Romero or even Pedro Porro, who takes a lot of... you know, Vicario took the first one, but otherwise the second one was an assist from Pedro Porro to Romero. So that was good. Kudus did well in a role that I don't expect him to play often in the league. Spurs have to play better in the league. They did 54 passes in that second half. This is just not good enough at that level. They're better than that. So I expect them to do better. And if you want, Kudus is the one really for me that you could invest in as an attacking asset in your team. But I thought it was good. The structure was good. I thought it was really positive despite the last 10 minutes of the game, which obviously cost them, and then the penalty shootout.
One thing I will say, Kels, that we should have mentioned before is that Pap Sarr picked up DEFCON points in that game, or he would have if it was a Premier League game. He got 16 defensive contributions in that one, which is remarkable. So 7 recoveries, 3 tackles, 4 interceptions and 2 clearances. So if you are one of those managers that wants a 5 million midfielder and you really don't have anything else to spend, because I think at 5.5 you can get something slightly better, we probably do see him in a slightly more attacking role unless Spurs sign a number 10 anyway. So Pap Sarr looking like a relatively decent option, because in that one he would have still picked up 4 points, which, you know, as your fifth midfielder isn't terrible at all.
No, that's a very good point. Okay then, Jules, we've got over that. Now you can do your roundup.
I'll go very quickly, Kels, because you said we saw the last friendly match pretty much for everyone, and often this was the strongest team, the team that would probably play this weekend in the Premier League. Arsenal finish it off with a good win against Athletic Club de Bilbao, where Zubimendi was good, and maybe more importantly, if you are a Gyökeres owner, he scored his first goal, great header. Kai Havertz also scored with like running like Usain Bolt. I've never seen him run that fast. It's another goal for Oli Watkins. It's 5-5 now in pre-season. And another win for Villa against Villarreal too. It was a good performance. And I think Watkins is on fire and has to be a massive contender for your team. Chelsea with their only friendly of the summer. Big win against Milan. João Pedro scored again. It was good. We saw Gittens on the left-hand side. City also had only one friendly. They beat Palermo, where Erling Haaland scored once. And Tijani Reinders scores twice. And again, at 5.5, I think Reinders is a very, very good asset to have. Manchester United, 1-1 draw against Fiorentina. Not very good, I won't lie. The front three of Mount and Bomo and Cunha, not my cup of tea. But at least it was better than Newcastle, who lost again, this time to Atletico Madrid. They missed a few chances, to be fair. And we saw Anthony Gordon as a number nine, forced number nine again, which I don't think is working. And I think that's it.
Very good. Thank you very much. Yeah, nice little updates there. But now we're on to the bit that everyone's listening for, as I said before. Our drafts, I'm going to say this, we're recording on a Thursday morning, let's be honest. They're not going to be our final drafts because there's still, 36 hours to go and plenty of time for tinkering. Mm-hmm. But I think we're getting there, aren't we? I'm speaking on behalf of all of us, but we have to be getting there, let's be honest. Ugh, I'm nervous to say mine. So let's go with goalkeepers first. Let's all compare goalkeepers. Sam?
I think the world and its wife is going to have Dubravka as their second. So he's my second. And then I've got Matt Zell in goal. I've still kind of gone off the Sanchez thing with the Caldwell injury. So I do like the Forest fixtures. I'm really torn on it because from both Chelsea and Forest, I would prefer to have a defender. I think that the defensive contributions and the attacking potential that you get from Cucurella or a Murillo or a Milenkovic, they all probably outweigh what you're going to get out of the goalkeeper. But one of those two teams has to be the defender. And I think I prefer Sells. So at the minute, it's those two.
So we'll come on to defenders. You've gone for Sells instead of a Forest defender.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Makes a lot of sense. Jules, keepers?
Yeah, Dubravka, like everybody else in the world. And then right now I've got Kelleher and Brentford. It could be Sells because I still have some money in the bank. I wasn't sure. I just think that Brentford could be good defensively. I know they haven't been great in pre-season, but could be good defensively, but I'm not too sure. But for now, I'm happy with a 4 million goalkeeper and a 4.5 million goalkeeper.
Okay, it's interesting because we've all got Dubravka, but I'm currently on Sanchez, though. If you look in my transfers on the FPL website, you'll see that I'm constantly going, Sanchez sells, Sanchez sells, Sanchez
<It's like>
sells.
Me.
I don't like doubling up, though, and I have got a Forest defender. So that's the reason I'm currently on Sanchez, but I don't love the Sanchez pick. So yeah, it's kind of trying to cover off defence, isn't it? I just don't like doubling up, really. Okay, then, defenders. Jules, you go first this time.
So my defenders are interesting. There's no William Saliba anymore. I know it's heartbreaking.
This is maybe the first. How long? When do you get into the last one?
He will be back.
Yeah. This is weird.
Yeah. I've sent him the paperwork. He signed it back. He was quite disappointed, to be fair. I didn't see it coming. He thought we were in love forever. But that's, you know, things like that happen. I just had to find money for other things. But again, I think he will be back and this would change. But I've gone big on cheap, which is not me, as you know, obviously. You know, I like nice things. But Wan-Bissaka, 4.5 million. Mickey van der Ven, 4.5 million. Edward Consa, 4.5 million. Renildo, 4 million. And Estev, because I need a Frenchman there, obviously, a 4 million. It's probably the cheapest defense I've ever had in this game. I'm not sure it's going to work out. There'll be a lot of DEFCON and a lot of good things in those players, but there's something missing, I can tell. So for now, this is the five. I think it could change. And I just don't think I can go into a scene without my boy Saliba anyway.
Okay, so just run through them as the whole thing now. Just
sorry, so Wan-Bissaka, Van de Ven, Konsa, Renildo and Esteve.
Okay, some similarities to mine, some differences. Sam, run through them, then explain them. I think that's maybe the best way we do this.
So I've got Kukurea, Aitnori, Van de Ven,
cool,
and then Roden and Renildo. Not Ronaldo, that'd be weird. So like I'm very, as I said at the beginning, I'm very up in the air on whether I go for Forest or whether I go for Chelsea and which way around. At the minute, I think I prefer Kukurea slightly over the Nottingham Forest defenders, but then I could save a little bit of money if I do it that way instead. So that's kind of weighing up in my thought process. So I think there's a potential that ahead of game week one, I actually swap it over and I have Sanchez in goal and I have a Forest defender instead. Aitnori, I've been on all summer. I still can't decide between him and Gvardiol or whether I go without a Man City at all, but I do want to have another 6 million defender in there. It feels important to have a couple because then I can go everywhere. And if I do feel I've made a mistake by not investing in Arsenal or anything else like that, I can do that. Van de Ven, I just love him. And I think at 4.5, he's really great value for money and will get some joy from set pieces and will probably pick up some DevCon points across the season. So would I like to find another million for Pedro Porro? Probably if he stays on set pieces, but I just think that at 4.5, there's some really great value there. And I value that money in attack. So I'm sticking there. Mm-hmm. And then the two 4.0s, Esteve, I like, but my worry is that he's so heavily owned now that if people get off of him, he could easily end up at 3.9. And that's a problem. Whereas with Leeds and with Sunderland, the two centre-backs, they're just very lowly owned. So the chance of them dropping in price are very, very small. Plus Leeds actually had a lower, I know Burnley did really well in terms of clean sheets last season, but Leeds actually had a lower expected goals conceded by significantly, it was significantly better than Burnley. So Burnley were maybe a bit lucky to get all the clean sheets that they did. So for me, I've gone for those two because they feel safer in terms of not losing team value in them.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. And that's a really good point, actually, thinking about the cost of players and how they can fall, because there is nothing worse than when you go with 4 million and they go to 3.9. I don't know why, but like if a 5 million goes to a 4.9 or something, it feels you can get to other players, but getting from a 3.9 player to another player is just so hard, isn't it? So yeah, my defence then is currently, I have gone for Esteve. I've gone for Richards at Palace, Anderson, Murillo and Pedro Porro. Though I said to these guys, actually after half an hour or 45 minutes of the Super Cup game, I actually had double Spurs because I went Porro and Van de Ven, but I knew I couldn't keep both. I've gone between having Munoz and Van de Ven or having Richards and Porro, and I'm kind of flitting between those two. That's one of the key decisions I've got to make before the deadline. So yeah, I've as it stands, Esteve, Richards, Anderson, Murillo and Porro, but that could change. I like that we've got quite different defences, by the way. Midfields, go on, Jules.
This is where the money is for me right now. And again, there's a lot of things I'm not sure about. But right now, it reads Salah, Palmer, Wirtz, Bruno Fernandes and Tijani Reinders. So Salah, you know what I think. I'm not sure, but I don't think you can start the season without him. But I'm really not sure. And I would love to be proved wrong and him to have another great season and it would be all good. Cole Palmer, I think the Club World Cup had showed that he is back with his flow, which was not the case of the second part of last season. But there's the fitness issue that we saw with PSG on Wednesday night that we will see with Chelsea. They are not ready physically to start the season. They can't be. They've just been training for a week. It's going to be very difficult, but I feel like you can start with Palmer, and as we've been saying for the last few weeks, if he's not on top form, you can always go down to a Saka or somebody like that. Wirtz, this is Wirtz, and we saw on Sunday he's ready already. And then there's Bruno there, because he's Bruno, but he's going to play deeper.
I'd love to have him.
Do you?
I'm so jealous. Well, no, I just think a midfield with Bruno in just looks like, because we know he's going to get points, even if Man United aren't good. But I can't.
No,
I've decided to go for Wirtz over him. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but because I can't find the extra.
My only issue, I agree with you, and I think there's a lot. I agree with you, but he's going to play deeper. And one, this is not his best position. Two, he won't have the same impact that he would have with more freedom higher up the pitch, for example, which is where he usually does really well for United. And this is the only thing that I'm a bit worried is that him playing deeper with Casemiro and having Cunha and Bomo and Sesko ahead of him, it will still have an impact, but maybe not the impact that he usually has because he'd be further from the opposition's box. So he's there for now, but he's obviously very expensive at 9 million, and I'm not sure if he would stay there.
Okay then, Sam, yours?
It's very similar. My midfield has actually been really settled now. I haven't changed it for about a weekish.
Is this locked?
I think we're pretty much locked, yeah.
Don't do a Kelly. If you've had a midfield for a week, Sam, you can't now change it in the last 24 hours. Yeah.
And if you remember... Yeah. And I think it's a good lesson, right? Because if you remember this time last season, I sat on this podcast and I said I was locked, and then Don Solanke signed for Spurs and everything went up in the air. And I think that's a lesson to everybody, especially to me, that you don't, like, you've had a plan all season just because something changes, and things are still going to change. Players will sign contracts at new clubs, you know, and that will happen right up until September. So we're going to have to make some changes. But I think going into game week one, you have to stay settled once you start to form it. So for me right now, and same as last week, it's Mo Salah, Cole Palmer, Florian Wirtz, and then I've got Kudus and Reunders. Like I've been on them now for a while, and they feel safe and they feel sensible. And everything that I've seen in pre-season, with the exception of the Community Shield, has made me more confident in those five. So I think that's where I'm going to be.
Is no Morgan Rodgers just to worry about his fitness, Sam?
Yeah, partly. And it's also, spoiler alert for the forward line, I don't want to double up on the Villa attack. Yeah. And I think there was a really, really difficult choice to be made between Rodgers and Watkins about a week to 10 days ago. And then obviously the injury to Morgan Rodgers, or the potential injury to Morgan Rodgers, and whether he starts in game week one, was just enough to just push it back in Ollie Watkins' favour. And I appreciate that I have to pay, you know, a whole 2 million more for Ollie Watkins than I do to have Morgan Rodgers. But it also means that if I get 2 weeks in and I decide, actually, I would rather have Rodgers, then it's quite easy to just with a couple of transfers to move the money from one position, because I'm going to save money at the end of the day by doing it. So, yeah, Rodgers is the one that I would really like, but there's enough doubt that makes me think I'll just go Watkins. And as Jules said in his little roundup earlier, like, Watkins has been phenomenal in preseason, so it doesn't feel like a compromise to be having him instead.
Yeah, as it stands, spoiler for me as well, I've got both of them, but Rodgers I've kind of kept, because I've just really wanted him for weeks. And then when he was pictured kind of in training the other day, and I was like, but that could change. And like you said, if I do get rid of him, I'll probably downgrade him to Rangers or something like that, because I don't have anyone from Manchester City. So yeah, I've got Rodgers, Wirtz, Palmer, Salah and Anderson. I'm interested in Kean and Dewsbury Hall at Everton if I want to save a bit of money as well, I think, in there in terms of a fifth midfielder. I think he's emerged as quite a nice option. So he's also on my radar if I want to downgrade Anderson, potentially, or change Anderson. Yeah, that's my thought process. But I think Salah, Palmer and Wirtz are locked, those other two midfield spots. Not 100%. I really like Anderson as an option. I just think maybe there's a bit of wiggle room. Forwards. I think we have all got the same forwards. Go on, Jules.
I don't think so.
So, no, I think Sam, yeah, you and I think have the same in Watkins, Marguyu, simply because nobody in England can say his name properly, and João Pedro.
Oh, I've just realised, yeah, Sam does have a difference.
Yeah. This front three for me and you, Kev, I think worked well. To doubling up on Palmer and Pedro, I'm not too sure. I would like Marmoush there. And if there's no Reinders, I could move from Bruno to Marmoush quite nicely. But the João Pedro one is the one that I'm not too sure, simply because he's heavily owned. So if he does well and you don't have him, you're going to suffer for it. But on the other side, if you already have Cole Palmer, do you need João Pedro as well? And you could go for Mateta, you could go for somebody else.
Yeah,
this is the dilemma that I have.
Yeah, I'm a bit uneasy because I've got double Villa, double Liverpool and double Chelsea attack. I'm going big in on three teams, really, because I've got, same as usual, Pedro, Watkins and Guiu, at Sunderland. Do yours, Sam?
Watkins, Guiu.
Why are you wincing?
And Mateta. I'm wincing because...
Oh, yeah.
Because everything that Jules has just said is exactly why I winced. Because the problem with João Pedro is that he has gone through the roof ownership wise. Like, he is just right up there with like more ownership than Salah. It's mad. And I watch him and I like him. So on Sunday, spoiler alert into how my Sunday went, watching the Community Shield, and I'm like, I'm already stressed about not having João Pedro. Then João Pedro scores again in the Chelsea game that I'm not watching. And I'm like, oh, for goodness sake. But then Mateta scored. And I'm like, you see, I just prefer it. And I think for me, my issue is that if we get to 60 minutes and João Pedro hasn't scored, I can see him being subbed off for Liam Delap. And then if Liam Delap comes on and does score, then does Liam Delap get the start in game week two? Like, is there enough rotation there and a minute's worry to stress me out? Yes, there is. Whereas with Mateta, do I have that same concern? No, he's going to start every week. He's going to perform well. I really like him. Like, it is a bit of an obsession with Mateta, I do appreciate, but I just think he's really good. And so my conundrum comes because I really want Mateta. I want him more than I want João Pedro. I don't really want João Pedro. I've got Cucurella and I've got Palmer. And that feels like enough Chelsea players. But there's this little niggly doubt in the back of my head that says, if you don't go João Pedro and he scores in game week one, he's going to fly up in value as people look to invest in him. Plus, it's going to tank my rank because everyone else has got him. So it's that, how far do I want to be a sheep and just follow what everyone else is doing? And how far do I want to stick to my gut? I know, but I love to just stick. The gut feeling is so important in FPL, for me anyway. Like, that's really important. And Mateta's been my gut feeling now for weeks. And I've been low-key watching the Palace pre-season, being so impressed by what they're doing. So I really want to stick there. It's just, will the fear get me? And I think there's a chance that I just get afraid and I end up going for João Pedro, but I don't want to. I want to stick with Mateta.
Okay. So that's not completely locked, unlike your midfield.
No, yeah. Two are locked. One of them, we'll see.
Is she going to waver? We'll find out. Differential of the week then, of course.
I mean, just before we go into differential, go, I just want to say, I have a drive with Haaland and Salah and Palmer.
Oh, hold
and
on a sec.
Wait.
But it's just, yeah, this will be,
Jules,
I mean, it's not
now,
too bad.
I swear, no, to, I'm just, I let, swear, if let you me, let me run end up with quickly. That other drive, oh, he's covering
read
himself.
Read it out.
Here.
Quickly. Dubravka, Kelleher, Wan-Bissaka, Konsa, Van de Ven, De Kuyper at Brighton. This is all valid. Renildo, Sunderland.
So nothing more than a 4.5 in defence.
Yeah, but that's
well,
in my team right now.
How else are you going to afford them?
Yeah.
This is my team right now too. Then your midfield is Salah, Palmer, Wirtz, Reinders and Caicedo. And I'm sorry, this is a solid
it's
midfield
a good
too.
Midfield, yeah.
Yeah, that's fine.
And then up front, Haaland and Trent Larsen. And Kelly's friend Margot Yu, she can't pronounce the name. So this is it. So
I read it completely wrong. I know it's Giyu, sorry.
But so this is it. So it's Trent Larsen and
it's not terrible, Jules.
On his own up front, but it's not terrible. And to be fair, you know me. I look at this and I'm really tempted. It would be mad, but you know, don't.
It is
just
all
don't
in
really,
on those three,
really
though.
Out.
If they don't perform,
but Sam, I don't hate that. When he said that was a draft, I'm actually kind
of four because
like,
of Wirtz.
I'm a little bit envious.
Yeah,
that's not
so,
a draft.
I mean, if Haaland, Salah, Palmer, and Wirtz do well, you're there. Perfect.
If they don't,
then you're doomed.
Yeah, don't forget, they're not many people would have Haaland and Salah in their team together.
Okay,
so you just need Haaland to do well and Salah to do well.
I'm going to let you off interrupting me trying to get into differential of the week because that was quite a good interruption, actually.
Thank you,
and also,
you've
covered yourself because if now people look at your team and it's completely different to the draft that you came on the pod and said, at least you've covered yourself.
I'm going to put on social media that I've got that draft and I've got the current team in and, you know, that so people can see and then I'll decide what to do at the
last
minute.
I'm still deciding. You guys both put your teams up after deadlines. I don't know if I can do that because, I don't know, I just get all so nervous about it. But I am considering doing that in the new season so managers can see exactly what we've done because I know people are very interested in it. Jesse, our producer, has just WhatsApped me actually, Jules, saying, where's your All Paris draft? Are you doing that this year?
Oh my God, I forgot. Yeah, I mean, there's even...
Right, no time even, for it now. We can talk about it next week.
No, I know, but there's even more people. Yeah, I'll prepare it for next week and I count the points through the season.
Okay, all right, thank you. Okay, finally, we're getting on to differential of the week, which I've been trying to get to for some time. For our new listeners, a differential is a player owned by under 10% of FPL managers. It's a little bit of fun that we do between Jules and Sam. They pick out a differential all week. Sam keeps a spreadsheet because she loves spreadsheets. And then throughout the season, we check in and see how many points, who's winning. Sam, what's the scoring system? Just remind us.
Well, you score basically the points that your players get. So
right,
we do
okay.
a tally of how many points our differentials have got this season. And then we also get a point every time one of our differentials returns. So we will have a winner based upon the number of points and also the number of returns. It's always me, by the way, so you might as well give up, Jules.
As a Spurs fan, you have to win something sometimes.
I'm totally
that was below the
I'm
belt.
Totally neutral in all of this. So I wish both of you the very best of luck, particularly you, Jules, because you need it. You can go first, Sam, because you won last season.
Oh, lovely. Okay, so I'm going to go for Fulkrug at West Ham. So he's owned by 3.
No way, that's mine. Listen, I swear, look at this.
Oh, this is it's another here. Problem.
Begins
new
again already.
By the way, Jules only ever comes with one.
Have you got
also,
another one,
on YouTube,
Julian
what
Aron?
What are those notes?
Absolutely not.
Jules, where's your notebook?
Oh, I left
we
it at home again. It would be there. I know it would be there
ridiculous.
Next week, I promise.
You've only got
I
one.
Mean, you don't want to see right. the other side of this
right.
paper because
well,
it's a fine that I got
for standard,
in the interest
Kelly,
of
I do have
of
another.
Fairness, yeah. I was going to say, in the interest of fairness, I should just let Sam go with it and Jules not have one. But in the interest of this being a good podcast and hopefully a podcast that can end relatively soon because we're rambling on a little bit, Sam, you can go first. And unfortunately, you are not able to take Fulkrug. I apologise.
This is unbelievable. Jules, the rules of this is now going to be you have to come with
Sam.
Two. Right, fine. I'm going to go with Milenkovic then. He is going to cost you 5.5 million. Shut up, Jules. He's owned by 9.8% of the managers, so he's only just... I'm really annoyed about this one because I think Fulkrug's going to do well. He's only just a differential, so actually probably next week, even probably by Friday, you won't be able to have him as a differential, so it's good it's now. He's at home to Brentford. So Nottingham Forest, remarkably, have recorded... five 0-0 draws in pre-season. So nothing much has changed with the way that they are approaching their game style. They remain defensively secure as they were at the start of last season. Both Milenkovic and Murillo would have got defensive contribution points last season, both home and away against Brentford, who they play this time around. And obviously Brentford are very much new look for this season, and we're not exactly sure what we're going to get from them, and I'm not particularly loving their attack right now. Well, anything about Brentford, to be fair. Sorry, Bees fans. So I think in this one we probably get a clean sheet out of Milenkovic. We probably get some defensive contribution returns as well, and if it's a boring 0-0, sorry Forest and Brentford fans, but if it is a boring 0-0, there's a good chance to get some bonus points out of him as well. So reluctantly I'll have Milenkovic as my dear.
You've sold that well. You've sold that very
well.
Yeah,
did well.
Because maybe we'll get a sympathy point next week. Who knows? Go on, Jules.
Who knows?
So, Matt, it's been really difficult. I had a few options and I've got a few names on my paper, but I will go for Niklas Fulkrug.
Unbelievable.
And not just because he's got a tooth missing, but also because he's been in great form. 3 goals in his last 3 friendlies. He works well with Bowen up front. They are away at Sunderland on Saturday. 6 million, only owned by 3.2% of the manager. So I think Fulkrug, is a very interesting differential.
I'm sorry, great but pick. Sam absolutely nailed that in terms of delivery compared to yours. Sorry.
Well, I think I sold it well. Just the tooth missing is the reason for why
that's
you
the reason.
You've got more laughs, I'll give you that. Okay, we'll see you next week. We'll keep you abreast of who is doing well. Make sure you tune in every week because that's probably going to be the highlight of the pod, those two arguing about it. Captaincy then. Are we all going with Salah, Jules?
Yeah, I think we should.
Jules might not have him. What are you going to do if you don't have him?
No, I will have him.
He will.
You know, a bit reluctantly, but I will have him. And he will probably be captain. Yeah.
Sam? Salah?
Yeah.
If you're not going Salah, who would you go with?
That's a good question.
I try.
Yes.
Or does that tell us all we need to know in terms
maybe.
Of Salah? Is,
Watkins,
is
maybe.
Captain.
But Salah feels like the captain. Yeah.
Jules,
yeah, everyone else was compromised.
I mean, if I go with the Haaland and Salah team and the draft, then you know, Haaland, even away but against Wolves, is a very good pick as well for captaincy, and usually starts the season really well.
Mm. Okay, some people are going without Salah and Haaland, so I'm going to make it even more tricky. Who would you go with then, Sam? Watkins. I agree with you on Watkins.
Watkins, I think. Palmer's there as well.
Wirtz is a good one.
Yeah, Palmer's there as well. I think Wirtz or Watkins, probably Watkins. Watkins, I think, will probably have my vice-captain's armband because obviously I don't want a captain and vice in the same game just in case. I think I'd go Watkins as my second best captain option.
You're saying just in case, because in the crazy unlikely situation that that game is cancelled.
Oh yeah, sorry, I should have explained that. Yes, yeah. Basically, just in case there's anything that happens to the fixture. Obviously, we're in August, so we're unlikely to get snow, but just generally as a rule, it's always better to just captain outside of and vice captain outside of the game, just to make sure that you're guaranteed to have a captain.
Yeah, that's a really good bit of advice. Okay, then. I think that's it. I think we've given out our last bit of attempted advice. Jules, what do you think you're going to be doing come the deadline? Are you going to be panicking, or are you going to try and set it and lock it a few hours to go?
If I'm in a mad mood, I'll go with the Salah and Haaland draft and the one I mentioned. If I'm more responsible, and you know I'm a grown-up man and you know I'm a father, so I'll probably go a bit safer.
Can't do with anything.
But I don't know yet. I just don't know yet.
Sam, you're going to be busy at Fest, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm seeing you in the morning, Cals, for the fantasy show. And then after that, I'll be at Fest. So my plan is to come to the fantasy show locked in. And I don't want to make any more changes, because it's that's distress for me. So I'm going to be doing a quick nip from the show down to Fantasy Football Fest. So I might have a look in between the two, but my plan is to be fully locked in by the morning and leave it at that.
How many players away from being locked are you, Sam?
Two. Three. The goalkeeper and the defender. I may change 15. Up. I may change up the goalkeeper and the defender. And then really it's João Pedro and Mateta. That's it. And we know what I'm like with goalkeepers. It's going to be a bad decision.
Yeah. Good luck. This is the season where it can change. Okay, then I think that's where we'll leave it, guys. A reminder, there's plenty more hints and tips, and fantasy.premierleague.com and the Premier League app is going to be absolutely brimming with content and helpful advice and all the stats and content creators, what they're doing. Everything's going to be over there. So do head over there. As Sam mentioned then, herself and her husband, Lee, from FPL Family, will be on the fantasy show tomorrow. That one will be out on the Premier League website and app as well. So plenty more to come from there. I'll be interested to see how Lee's team differs from Sam's, because of course they go head to head during the season as well. The deadline is 6:30 PM UK time. As I said at the beginning, don't miss it. 6:30 PM. Jules, what time is it? Not now, the deadline.
6:30 PM.
Oh, he was
wonderful.
Listening.
Jules missed his train this morning, so he's not actually very good with time. So I just wanted to drill it into him.
I'm the Zuma of this podcast, you know?
And on that note, good luck, guys. Bye.